Wild rice, called manumin in Ojibwe, is a sacred plant to Great Lakes tribes. But according to a new study, there's less of it to harvest in Wisconsin lakes and wetlands than in past years.
According to a new report in the Nature Journal Communications Earth and Environment, climate change is partly to blame for the declining availability of manumin each year.
Madeline Nyblade from the University of Minnesota was a lead author for the report. Two co-authors of the paper join us now. Brandon Byrne is the inland fisheries biologist and former wetlands biologist at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, or GLIFWIC, and Rob Kroll is policy analyst and climate change coordinator also at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Rob, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having us.
And Brandon, thanks for being with us.
Yes, absolutely. Pleased to be here.
Before we get to the report itself, can you talk about what we've seen when it comes to our longer-term trends with wild rice? It sounds like, if I'm reading this right, Brandon, that there's been a decline over the years.
Yeah, exactly. So, kind of in this paper that Maddie put out, it looked at, several sources of long-term data, both from GLIFWIC and our sister agency, the 1854 Treaty Authority, among others, and kind of what it's found is that, over the years, at least since we've been collecting these data, that overall the abundance of manumin and sort of its presence within regional watersheds has declined over the past few decades.
And Rob, as the climate change program coordinator there, how do you try to figure out how much of that decline can be linked to climate change?
That's a difficult thing to kind of suss out. Maddie did a really good job with her research looking at some of the impacts that we're seeing up here in terms of changes in water levels at certain times of the year, in the length of winter and ice thickness and duration, but recognize that you have to look at manumin holistically. It's as vulnerable as a plant can be just because of its very nature. It's vulnerable to land use changes, water use changes, pollution, impacts from motorboat use and high wakes. So you can't just look at climate change in a silo. You have to look at it holistically.
And Brandon, you've worked also as a wetlands biologist. Can you talk about what it is about wild rice manumin that makes it vulnerable to some of those things Rob was just talking about?
Yeah, manumin or wild rice has sort of a very narrow window of environmental conditions in which it can really, be successful. And so that involves, water depths from about 6 inches to 3 feet, slow flow, and relatively cool water. And so, in its early stages is kind of when it's most susceptible to these environmental changes. And we often refer to that as the floating leaf stage. In this stage, its root system is not quite anchored within the sediment. And so kind of like Rob was saying, not only is it vulnerable to sort of weather or climatic variables, it's also vulnerable to motorboat use. So, if a motorboat goes by a wild rice bed kind of when it's early on in its growth, that those wakes from that boat have potential to uproot it when it's kind of in its early and most vulnerable stages. And so it's really just, its ecology overall is very delicate and, kind of susceptible to factors around it when it's young.
Interesting. So Rob, with climate change as an extra variable, what are some of the worries in our year-to-year weather that might affect this plant, especially maybe at those early stages of its growth?
Sure. One of the things that we're seeing and will continue to see is our precipitation coming less frequently, but more intensely. So much heavier rainstorms, which can cause quick floods, which, during the floating leaf stage that Brandon mentioned, will uproot the plant. And then later on in its growth, when there are seeds on the plant, if we get these big storms and heavier winds, which we've been getting later on in the year, it can devastate a rice bed just by blowing the stalks down into the water.
Brandon, as part of this study, I understand you helped contribute some new data about wild rice in the Great Lakes region. What kind of things, what kind of information are you working to glean and that ended up contributing to this overall report?
Yeah, so really, what I worked with in this paper is kind of the more recent data collection of an ongoing Minnowman monitoring program that Glyphica has had, I think since the early 90s. You're essentially going to a wild rice water body, a known wild rice water body, and measuring the number of plant stocks that are within a half meter square. When you have all these variables sort of year after year, you know, that can kind of paint a kind of a broader picture of what's going on in a particular lake. In 2014, we had Tanya Cherland had published the Wild Rice Monitoring Handbook. And so we sort of tweaked our methods to be more in line with what was in Tanya's document. So we are now sampling fewer lakes. You know, we've gone from roughly 40 lakes in a year to about 10. But then within those 10 lakes, we have a higher sampling intensity.
Rob, I understand there's a move, in addition to the kind of data Brandon is talking about, to use traditional ecological knowledge, sometimes abbreviated TEK, in this kind of study. Can you talk a little bit about that concept of using this traditional ecological knowledge in our scientific work?
Sure, and recognizing that I'm speaking as an employee of Glyphwick and not a tribal member. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking about my culture. The term we often use here at Glyphwick in the Ojibwe language is Ojibwe Kikindasawin, Ojibwe knowledge. And what that reflects is long-term place-based observational knowledge from people that have lived in a place for a really long time and interacted with that place and the beings that live there and have seen changes and have reacted to those changes on the landscape. In our program, we use both the best available science, but then also interviews and conversations with Ojibwe knowledge holders to help us think about the impact of climate change and other environmental stressors on culturally important beings like Minnowman and how it impacts Ojibwe lifeways. The tribes signed treaties with the U.S. government back in the 1800s, and in those treaties, it specifically mentioned the ability to gather wild rice on the waters outside the reservations is an inherent right that the Ojibwe people kept for themselves in those treaty negotiations. As we see a decline in rice, that impacts the ability of the Ojibwe today to continue to practice their culture and their lifeways.
We are talking about the decrease of Minnowman, a wild rice plant in the Great Lakes region. We have Brandon Byrne and Rob Kroll with us from the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Brandon, are there lessons we can take from this research on protecting wild rice and the habitat it grows in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important not to forget that there are measurable actions we can take right now that will actually, you know, provide some protection to Minnowman and its habitat. And so kind of on an individual level, you know, exercising caution if you're on a water body that you know has wild rice, taking care to paddle or motor less aggressively in areas where it might be present. So that might be at the inlets or outlets of a lake, you know, also individual lakeshore property owners, reducing, refraining from using lawn fertilizers, herbicides, et cetera, that can all have impacts to Minnowman habitat. And sort of on a broader scale, there are lake associations, lake districts that have jurisdiction over these lakes, you know, and for those lakes where Minnowman is present, it's worthwhile to make those who share the lake just aware that Minnowman is on that water body. And actually, the lake district can actually define that area as a no-wake zone, which can, you know, have a measurable impact on the protection of the Minnowman present.
And Brandon, briefly, could that be a time-specific thing? Like, hey, this is a no-wake zone during this, I don't know what, weeks-long period that's a critical stage in development of Minnowman?
Yeah, really anywhere before mid to late June, if you were to implement a no-wake zone is when it would have its greatest impact.
And Rob, do you have thoughts for what you'd like to see or do next when it comes to research?
Additional research is needed on the impact of our changing winters. We know that Minnowman does need cold temperatures and ice cover for it to successfully germinate. And then we hear from some of the tribal programs that they really want to see more research into the impact of land use practices on wild rice.
I'll leave it there. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Brandon, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
That was Brandon Byrne and Rob Kroll with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. We learned about how climate change is leading to a decrease of Minnowman, a wild rice plant in the Great Lakes region.
And And now be sure to join WPR for the Wisconsin Road Trip Project. It launches today online with an interactive map. It features 9 curated road trips with stops all over the state. There is something for everyone here. We've got themes for ice cream lovers, baseball fans, birders, and bookworms. I'll be checking out the independent bookstore road trip, that is for sure. Find the Wisconsin Road Trip Project at WPR.org. Play around with that interactive map and be sure to listen on Wisconsin Life starting Friday with stories from these stops.
Last week, we asked you to share your favorite memories of school plays and theater programs.
We got a call from Eugene in Viola, who shared his memory of teaching in a one-room schoolhouse over 60 years ago and helping kids put on their Christmas plays.
And it was just a lot of fun. The lower grades did the single pieces, and the upper grades did the plays. And getting it organized and getting it going and changing some of the names in the plays to some of the people in the community, we just had a lot of fun doing it.
Do you have a memory to share from your own school play experiences, whether that was 60 years ago or just last week? Tell us about it.
Reach out to us with your story about school theater. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org, or you can call or text at 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today producers include Rochelle Wilson, Trevor Hook, and Avery Lee Rogers. Our technical directors are Lee Rayburn and Tyler Ditter. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to WPR News.